All right, thank you, brother. All right, so as I had mentioned to you guys last week, I'll be preaching on the topic of vaccinations today. The title for the sermon this evening is called A Biblical Perspective on Vaccinations. A Biblical Perspective on Vaccinations. And it's a topic that's been sort of on the back burner in my mind to preach on for a while. And I just, it's one of these sermons I just couldn't really get into. You know, I mean, it's sort of like, I mean, I think a lot of us here in this church are anti-vaxxers. Like, I think most of us are just like, that's just rubbish. I'm not going to do it. I'm never going to inject it. And so normally when a whole church kind of has the one opinion, it's kind of like, what's the point of preaching? Like a topic when everyone's already in agreement of this. But it still needs to be preached because there are things that are in the Bible that pertain to the topic of vaccinations. And especially now because we're in this COVID-19 world and we know, if you're watching the media, you know that our politicians and the politicians across the world are trying to promote and push for people to be vaccinated. I mean, our Prime Minister would want nothing more than to vaccinate every single Australian, you and I, whether you want it or not. I mean, that's what they would ideally would like to achieve for everybody to be vaccinated with COVID-19. And so, you know, it is necessary to look at this topic. At least, you know, you may have your opinions why you don't vaccinate. I think most of your reasons would be based upon reports and research, information that comes from a contrary perspective to your usual information that you receive by the medical world. I know that's where I started on this topic, but maybe you haven't completely thought about it from a biblical perspective. Why is it that we generally don't vaccinate? What are the reasons behind that? And so I had a decision to make as I prepared this sermon. Do I look at the reports that's out there online and kind of regurgitate that same information out there? But I realized, you know, one thing that I realized when I would have discussions with people, whether they were anti-vaxxers or pro-vaxxers, everyone has their reports. Everyone has their research. Everyone has their information that backs up their decision to either vaccinate or not vaccinate. And so I didn't want to go down that path because basically I'm going to convince those that are anti-vaxxers not to vaccinate, and those that want to vaccinate, I'm not going to convince them in a way anyway because of reports. Because they're just going to go, oh, that's Dr. Google. You know, Dr. Google, you found him online. Why should we do that? And look, I don't care about the non-believing world. I care about my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And as a Bible preacher, as a Baptist pastor, it's my job to teach you what God's Word says. And so that made it more exciting for me. Because I don't want to preach on reports. I don't want to preach on conspiracy information out there. Things could be true. Things could not be. It might be untrue. I don't know. You know, I'm getting behind the pulpit. Right, I'm flying up to the Sunshine Coast to preach. I want to preach to you guys God's Word. I want to preach the truth of God's Word, take the lessons that we can from God's Word, and apply that to the topic of vaccinations. So as I said, the title for the sermon this evening is A Biblical Perspective on Vaccinations. We'll be looking at God's Word primarily, but I'll also be sharing some of my own experience with all of this. As you know, my wife and I have had 11 kids. Okay, that's a lot of times doctors are trying to push this vaccines on your children. So I do have a bit of experience in this area as well. Now let's look at Psalm 139, where we had the reading from, verse number 13. Psalm 139, verse 13. It says, for thou, you know, the psalmist speaking to God, for thou hast possessed my reins. What are your reins? Those are like your intestines, your guts, right? Your organs, right? God is involved in the internal working of you. Why? In what sense? It says, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Wow. Did you know God is a God of the baby in the mother's womb? You know, God is there in the presence of the mother's womb, working on that child as it is becoming developed and as that mother is preparing herself to give birth. Verse number 14, it says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Who makes the child? Who is making this child? Fearfully and wonderfully. Listen, every child that is born from the mother's womb has been fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't care if it has Down syndrome. I don't care if it has some medical complications. That child has been fearfully and wonderfully made. Look, I don't care what complications a mother might have with a little child. The same scientists that want to kill that baby if it has some defect are the same people that can't create a child in the laboratory. They can't create any living thing, you know, from scratch, and they're trying to tell you there's a defect in that child. There's a defect. They can't even create life. They can't even create a single cell organism, okay? And they're telling you God's creation is imperfect. What else? We see there, not only with fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are thy works. A baby in the mother's womb is the work of God, and it's a marvelous work, and that my soul knoweth right well. Verse number 15, my substance was not hid from thee. The substance, that's the, you know, the tissues, the material that is that as that baby was being developed. Like that substance in the mother's womb, it's hid from us. I mean, mum feels it. Mum feels the substance inside. But for dads and for everyone outside, we just see a belly growing, right? That substance is hid from us. But the substance in that womb is not hid. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. So he's not completed yet. The baby's not completely formed yet. But God sees it. And look at this. And in thy book, all my members, that's all your body parts, were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So even before the members are created, God had written in a spiritual book up in heaven what this child's going to look like, how many arms it's going to have, how many legs, how many fingers. Ideally, you want 2 arms, 2 legs, 10 fingers, right? Hey, but if you're born with 11 fingers or 9 fingers, guess what? You're still wonderfully and fearfully made. Okay, your members are written in God's book, regardless of what kind of deformity. Now, when we talk about deformities, that's a small percentage. You know, the vast majority of babies are born perfectly normal. Okay, the vast majority are born perfectly normal. And, you know, God's work is marvelous. Okay, why are we talking about this topic? Well, I'm going to give you 7 reasons why, as Christians, you should be against vaccinations. Why you should not vaccinate your children. Point number one is it views God as an imperfect creator. Vaccinations view God, pushing vaccinations, the medical system, they view God as an imperfect creator. Right. They say that baby is born, even though God wrote it in his books, all the members that it's going to have, even though it's God's work, as soon as that baby is born, what do they want to do? They want to jab it with vaccinations. I mean, I didn't look up how many there are. But there are substantial amounts of vaccinations. They just want to keep injecting that child with poisons, with vaccines, with diseases, with who knows what kind of things that are in there. As soon as that child is born, we should say, hey, this child is fearfully what's the other word? Wonderfully made, okay? And this is a marvelous work of God. And what do they want to do? Oh, it's got problems. Start vaccinating it. Start fixing it. It's got to be vaccinated so it can survive in the real world. What are they doing with God's perfect creation that's come out? Even if that child has a defect, it doesn't deserve that kind of... As soon as it's born, its first interaction with the real world, let's just jab it with vaccinations. Let's put poison in that child. Okay? Oh, we got to fix God's creation. Man, God's creation... Women have been having children, generations. The reason we still exist. Listen, the world tells us we're overpopulated. Guess what? Babies work. Okay? God's creation of bringing forth children, it works so much so that they say we're overpopulated. And, oh no, we've got to fix it. Start injecting little babies. They're crazy, these people. They're insane. The people that come up with these things are reprobate. Okay? They're enemies of God. They're my enemies. And they're going to burn in the lowest hell. Okay, there's more reasons behind this, but you can see their view of God immediately. Oh, God's not a perfect creator. We've got to fix his creation. Okay, that's what they thought. That's what they thought, where their thoughts is. Okay, point number one, it views God as an imperfect creator. Can you please go to 2 Chronicles 16, verse 12? 2 Chronicles 16, verse 12. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 12. You really want me to believe that generation after generation, we're young earth creationists, we believe the Bible, that we've been here for just over 6,000 years. People have been having kids, after kids, after kids, okay? That 2021 and 2020 is not the first time we had viruses, okay? And, you know, there's been some really bad viruses out there. There's been some really bad sicknesses. There's been some really bad pandemics, all right? Where people have literally, I mean, we've lost so many people on this earth. Guess what? We're still here. People are still here, okay? And look, that's us. We're saying 6,000 years, it works perfectly, right? I mean, these guys are mostly evolutionists and atheists, and they believe man has been around here for maybe 20 million years. I mean, in other words, they're basically saying that the way people are able to bring forth children, you know, progenerate and give birth, that this has been working for literally millions of years, they think. But now, in the last 100 or so years, we've worked out how to really perfect it. Now we've really worked out how to fix it. I mean, their logic is stupid. Okay? Point number one was it views God as an imperfect creator. I mean, that's already blasphemous. You know, you don't need all seven reasons to not vaccinate. One of these reasons is sufficient for you to say, you know what, this is not what God intended. This is not God's plan for any human being, let alone a little child. Okay? But look at 2 Chronicles 16, verse 12. This is about King Asa. I've preached on him before. We're not going to go through the whole context here. But I want you to understand what he did. In verse number 12, it says, "And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet." Okay, so diseases happen. "Until his disease was exceedingly great, yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign." The second reason why you should not vaccinate your children, it prioritizes physicians over the Lord. It prioritizes physicians over the Lord. Why did King Asa die? He had a disease on his feet, okay? The Bible tells us he passed away because he did not seek the Lord. He did not go to God and say, "God, I'm not well, I've got a disease, can you do something about this? Lord, please heal me, please help me, please give me the medical advice that I need, or please do a miracle." He did not go to the Lord, he went straight to the physician. And the Lord says, "Hey, you want to go to the physician first? You don't want to come to the Lord? You can just die." Okay? So what is the Christian's first physician when he is sick? Who should he go to first? He must go to the Lord God. Whatever it is, brethren, your common cold, something serious, some terminal illness, the person you go to first, you bow your head, you go, "Lord, I've got a difficulty, I've got an infirmity in my flesh, please help me, please heal me." Okay? That ought to be the first call. This is not teaching us there's never a time to go to a physician. That's not what it's saying. But you ought to be prioritizing the Lord first. Before you go to your local GP, all right? On your drive to the GP, "Lord, I've got this situation. Please help me. Go into the GP. Please give that person wisdom. Please make sure that they give me the best advice, the best counsel that I have in order to fix this situation that I have." That would be prioritizing the Lord over the physicians. But what happens? A baby's born. As I said, literally, okay, yeah, we'll cut the umbilical cord, make sure it's breathing, weigh it, measure it, vaccine it. Vaccinations. Let's inject it. Before you even have time and say, "Hey, is there an issue? Is there something that needs to be fixed? Hey, it's time to vaccine that baby. It's time to put these drugs, these chemicals into this baby." Look, it's crazy. It's crazy. What do they want you to do? They want you to depend on the physician and not on the Lord. Okay? Again, I'm not against physicians. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ is not against physicians. But again, that mindset, baby's born, we got to fix it. They're asking you, put your faith and trust in us, the medical world, the medical system, and not on the Lord. You haven't even got time to pray to the Lord, and they start injecting your little baby. So the two reasons so far. Number one, it views God as an imperfect creator. Number two, it prioritizes physicians over the Lord. You know, with Isabel, our firstborn daughter, she's the only one that we voluntarily vaccinated at birth. And I wish I never did, not just because of the information that I have today, but I already knew back then there were some problems with it. I already knew back then that this is probably something I shouldn't do, but what happened? They start telling you all the stories. They start telling you, you know, trying to make you fearful. They start telling you, you need to do it, otherwise this could happen or that could happen. And, you know, you're a first-time parent. You don't know what you're doing. You have a baby the first time, right? I mean, there's so much to learn. There's so much to grow with that first child. And it's like, yeah, okay, man. You're the professional. You're the medical expert, so-called. So what's happened? What happened? Why did I vaccinate Isabel? Because I simply prioritized the physician's opinion over the Lord. That's simple. I mean, that's it. That's one of my sins I have to confess to you. Okay? I listened to the physician. I did not go to the Lord. and say, Lord, what is it that I should do? Okay? Now, thankfully, when she was vaccinated at birth, there was no adverse reactions that I know of. I mean, who knows what adverse reactions might be, okay? I mean, these things may develop later in her life. We don't know, okay? But the next thing, after you do it after birth, they want you to come 2 months later, if you know the system. They want you to bring in the child 2 months later into your local GP and get another bunch of shots. Again, at 2 months old. Think about that. 2 months old. So we took it to the GP, took her to the GP. Can't remember what they gave her. And before we took it to the GP, Isabel, I mean, she was probably my fattest baby, one of the fattest anyway. She ate really well, you know, she was very alert, she was very bright, and very fat, and ate a lot, okay? Like a lot of babies are. It's kind of cute when they're like that, right? But then, you know, we got her vaccinated at the 2 months old, and then I never forget, you know, putting her into the baby seat, into our car to drive back home, and literally as soon as I started putting her in the baby seat, she looked sick. She looked unwell. I knew something had happened. Okay? We took her home. Next thing we find out, she's not eating. She's losing weight. She got sick. Okay? And she lost her excitement as a little baby, the brightness that she had. You know? And she wasn't doing well. So what do we do? Oh, we'll take her to the medical expert, the one that injected her. Take her back to the GP. Hey, look, we just got her vaccinated. Literally 5 minutes later, she's having these reactions. Literally 5 minutes later, she's not having her meals. She's losing weight. And you know, you guys know in those early stages as a child, they're checking on the weight, making sure they're growing properly. She's losing weight. What's the doctor saying? Oh, no, it's not the vaccinations. 5 minutes after she got vaccinated, it's not the vaccinations. He thinks I'm a fool. He's the foolish one. And he's wicked. Okay? And this is another problem. We'll talk about it later. Okay? But these doctors, these people that push these things, okay, they take no accountability. They take no responsibility for any kind of damage, any kind of problems that may result from vaccine sickness or damage. Okay? So, can you please turn to Matthew chapter 9 now? Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Needless to say, after that, we did our further research and we decided not to vaccinate any further, okay? Matthew chapter 9, please, and verse number 12. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 12. Not against physicians. You know, I don't want anyone to walk away and say, well, Pastor Kevin said, when I get sick, don't go to the doctor. I didn't say that, okay? They serve their purpose. There's a reason behind them, okay? And Jesus Christ even speaks about them. And look, he wasn't teaching about physicians in this message here, but he uses the example of a physician, okay? So we can draw some conclusions from what Christ says. You know, I don't want to just teach you my opinion. I don't want to just tell you my common sense. We're going to look at the common sense of Jesus Christ, okay? Matthew chapter 9, verse 12. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Okay? They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So when that baby is born, it hasn't been tested for any kind of sickness. There's not been any time where we've been able to assess, hey, this baby is sick. What do? They take that child. It's sick. We better start vaccinating it. Okay? So it can survive in the world. No, listen, there is a time for a physician, and that is when you are not well. When you are sick, that is the time to go to a physician. Now, that's normal, right? You get sick, you don't feel well, you get a flu, you get a fever, you may go to your doctor or something, right? Why? Why do you go to the doctor? Because you're not feeling well. Because you're sick. Because you got a cough, you got something, you got asthma, you broke an arm, you got sick, you're not well, you need a physician. Common sense. This is why I didn't want to preach on this stuff, because I'm just telling you stuff that should be common sense. But when it comes to vaccinations, they have no common sense. In fact, vaccination is not for the sick. They want you to think that it's just a medicine. They want you to think it's just to help you. But in what sense? If you're whole, I mean, what percentage of babies are being born whole, healthy, well? When they're born that way, they don't need a physician. Okay? So the third reason why you should not vaccinate is because it is contrary to Jesus' common sense. Contrary to Jesus' common sense. Not just my common sense, not just your common sense, but we're Christians, we're Christ followers, and Christ's common sense is, if you're whole, if you're healthy, there's nothing wrong with you, don't go to a physician. There's no need for that. But if you are sick, yeah, go to a physician. What are they doing with COVID-19? They're trying to roll out the vaccinations right now, aren't they? Are they checking to see if someone's sick before they give it to them? Oh, we better check it before. No. It's everybody. It doesn't matter. Every man, woman, child, doesn't matter how healthy you are, doesn't matter if you're whole, doesn't matter if you're even sick, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They're trying to vaccinate every Australian, okay? And this is going out throughout the whole world. It is contrary to the common sense of Jesus Christ. And if I'm a follower of Christ, then it's contrary to me as well, okay? Now, in saying this, as a child, I was vaccinated. I got all the vaccines that were necessary, right? In my time, which was a lot less than they are now. I don't know what the numbers are, okay? You guys can do your own research. And so, of course, my parents made the decision to vaccinate. But you need to understand something, okay? The generations that have gone before us, all they had was the mainstream media. All they had was their doctors. Okay, I mean, just recently I heard someone say, you better obey your doctor. Oh, what? You better obey your doctor. What? Obey? My doctor's got authority over me? What institution does the doctor have over me? He doesn't have any authority over anybody. They can give their opinion, they can give their advice, they can share their experience, but they have no authority over you. Okay? Or over me. God did not create an institution where a doctor has authority over a human being. Okay? Now he's created the family, parents have authority over the kids, church, pastor has authority over the church members during church time. Okay? So on, so forth. Okay? But I understand the former generations because they did not have the information that we have today. All right? And I grew up in that way where you literally coughed. You had one cough. You had one sneeze, go to the doctor. I mean, maybe some of you know that. I'm not the only one that was brought up in that kind of previous generation. Or generations before that, okay? Because the doctors are after your well-being, okay? And they know, they're the experts. You've got to obey the doctor. In fact, they have authority over your body and authority over your health, so-called, okay? But that was, honestly, the impression that people had in former generations. Now, we're blessed because we have the internet, okay? We have Dr. Google, okay? And we can research, we can find information, we can see contrary views, right? At the moment, even these days, the internet, you know, Google is withholding information, you know, that are against vaccinations. I mean, this is obvious now. I mean, it's very obvious. You're trying to find information, contrary information. It's very hard these days, okay? Because they're, you know, trying to limit the kind of information that you're, you know, the internet is trying to become like a mainstream media now, source, okay? But information is still out there. We've grown up with the internet, a lot of us, and we have, you know, other information. And so our current generation have had the blessing to be able to listen to other information, other points of view, the alternative media. Hey, hear about vaccine damage. Hear about these things that your normal television news program will not have. Okay, so now we're in a better position to be further informed, okay, to weigh up the pros and cons. Now, when I say that, brethren, I want you to be careful as well, because the alternative media can be just as harmful as the mainstream media, okay? The mainstream media will cause you to go one way, the alternative media will cause you to go another way, okay? View things in a different light, okay? But one thing you need to understand, these are still worldly establishments, okay? As Christians, this is our media, okay? This is our mainstream media. This is our alternative media, comparing scripture with scripture. Look at alternative passages. This is what we use to make our decisions, okay? This is why I'm not here trying to preach on research and reports, and all of that is great. It's good. Do it. Do your own research. But at the end of the day, I'm going to make a decision as a Christian, as a Bible-believing Christian, not on what mainstream media says or what alternative media says. Okay? Because both of those are worldly institutions. Both of those ultimately will pull you away from the true Word of God. Okay? I promise you that. All right? So, it's important that we base our decisions. Okay? Now, if after this sermon you say, I'm still going to vaccinate, it's not my business. I don't have authority over you in that part of your life. I'm still going to vaccinate my kids. It's between you and God. Okay? It's between you and God. But I hope there's enough information here as a Bible-believing Christian to help you make an informed decision. Please go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, please, verse 7. Second Timothy chapter 1. So the 3 points so far. Number one, he views God as an imperfect creator. Number two, it prioritizes physicians over the Lord. Number three, it is contrary to Jesus' common sense. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible reads, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The fourth reason why you should be against vaccinations is because it promotes fear. It promotes fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. As I told you, my wife and I, we've had 11 kids. Okay? So that's 11 times. Actually, the twins don't really count because that's one. Okay, but 10 times. Okay? 10 times. 10 children. We've had the medical experts, all right, nurses and doctors. Every time we said, we don't want to vaccinate our kids, what do? They use fear. Fear-mongering, okay? They use tact. They know what to use. They've all been trained the same way. They all say the same thing. It's not like they're coming with their own personal opinion. They're not coming with their own personal concerns. They're not coming with their own personal experiences. They're saying the same thing over and over and over and over again. In fact, I think the last time we had the baby, the nurse, when she found out we didn't want to vaccinate, she goes, oh, but you know, and she starts to go on the spiel. Oh, hold on, you've got 10 kids. Have you vaccinated, or 11 kids, you know, before that? Have you vaccinated any of them? No? We're against, oh, okay, then you've heard it before. She said, you've heard it before! Meaning she's not giving her personal opinion. It's not her care as a nurse. She's just repeating the message that have been told, that they've been trained to teach and speak, which is to cause fear into parents. Okay? And we love our babies, don't we? We want the best for our babies that have just come out. It's a shock to the system. A new child. Someone's been added to the family. So they know how to play into those emotions. They want to drive you with fear. Listen, never make a decision based on fear. Unless you're fearing the Lord. If you're fearing the Lord, you're making the right decision on that, yeah, make the decision based on fearing the Lord. But as far as fearing anything else in this world, sicknesses, doctors, nurses, the pressures, okay, don't make a decision based on that. All right? So the fourth reason why you should be against vaccinations, it promotes fear. Oh, if they don't get vaccinated, they're going to get HIV. Really? That baby's sexually active already? It's going to get AIDS or something? I mean, oh, if you don't vaccinate, it's going to bleed to death. Really? How often has that happened? Fear. You know, you go to your, not just newborn babies, they go to the GP, my child's sick or whatever. Oh, your child's not vaccinated. You know the measles is out again? That there's a new measles plague somewhere? Fear. You better take the measles vaccine before your child who's unvaccinated and unprotected, so-called, even though God created the immune system, fearfully and wonderfully made, not just the body parts, but God's immune system. There's a reason why little babies pick up things on the floor and put them in their mouth, and you're like, gross! It's because God knows what a baby needs to put in its mouth to help build that body's immune system, so by the time it's older, it can fight off all kinds of manners of disease. Okay, God has already thought about the immune system. That's why you've got an immune system, because God put it in there. The medical world didn't put it in there. What am I talking about? Measles. Okay, so I remember, I learned over time what to say to these people. Oh, there's a measles outbreak. You know, your kid's not vaccinated. You better take the vaccine. What do you say? Oh, really? So all these kids that have measles, they're unvaccinated kids? Are you telling me that all the kids that are vaccinated are not getting measles? Oh, no, I can't. No, that's not, you know, it's not unvaccinated kids. Oh. All right, so are you telling me that the measles started with an unvaccinated kid? Oh, no, I can't tell you that. That's not what. What's the problem then? I hope you're saying this to all the parents. and not just singling us out because our kids are unvaccinated. Okay, again, they've been trained. You bring a vaccine, you know, you go to the GP with an unvaccinated kid, scare them about the measles, scare them about whatever's out there currently, right? So they can, it's fear tactics, right? Point number four was, it promotes fear. You know, in John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus Christ says these words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know what? In Christ Jesus, as a Christian, as a saved believer, we can have peace in God. Even if you are sick, even if you are born with some deformity, there's a peace of God that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ says, "Not as the world giveth." Okay, so what do? They want to promote fear into you, and they say, "Hey, we can give you peace. We can inject your kids right now." Okay? And then they won't have to die from the measles or whatever. Okay? No. Christ says, "I have a better peace than that." There's a peace of the world. The world wants to give you peace. I don't want the world's peace. This world is constantly at war. Nations are constantly at war against one another. What peace could this world possibly give me? Okay? Oh, we're just looking after your kids. We want to vaccinate your kids. Then why is it with our last baby, the doctors told us that it was going to be Down syndrome? Why don't you abort the child? Is that going to bring peace in the life of me and my wife with that kind of information? The same people that are trying to make you worried and afraid and a murderer of an unborn, innocent blood, are trying to give you peace? What idiots. There's only one peace that comes that truly gives you peace, and that's from the Lord Jesus Christ. So the fourth reason, brethren, why we should not vaccinate, it promotes fear. Okay, that's why people do it. They're afraid. They're afraid of this, afraid of that. Give it all to me then. Give me the peace of the world. I don't want the peace of the world. Luke chapter 14, please. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and verse number 28. Now, as I read this passage, familiar passage to most of you, you may not know where I'm going with this when I read this passage. But Luke 14, verse 28, Jesus Christ says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" So what is Christ teaching us? About counting the cost. Consider the risks, okay? Look at the pros and cons. Can you do, can you accomplish what it is that you're trying to accomplish? Verse number 29, "Lest happily after he have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassadorage and desireth conditions of peace." What is Christ teaching us here? That whatever decisions you make, okay, there's going to be a risk. And you have to weigh up the risk. Okay? Do you have the resources? Do you have the ability? Do you have the financial? Do you have whatever it is to make a decision? This makes sense. This makes sense, right? Every decision you make, if you want to be able to accomplish something in life, you're going to have to take certain risks. In fact, there's a common saying in the world which goes, without risk, there can be no reward. Without risk, there can be no reward. That's essentially what Christ is teaching us here. Okay? You make a decision, you want to accomplish something, there are risks. Okay? You've got to count the cost. Do you have what you need? The fifth reason why, as Christians, we should be against vaccines is because it encourages negligence and unnecessary risk. Okay, it encourages negligence and unnecessary risk. What are you talking about, Pastor Kevin? I'm talking about the same people that want to inject your children or inject you, the doctors, the nurses, the practitioners that want to do this to you. You know what? There's no risk to them. You get sick, you die, you get damaged with vaccines. There is no risk. Our doctors, our nurses are protected by law. Okay? Think about that for a moment. Now, normally, if you go to a doctor and you're not well, he's going to assess how you are. He checks your heart, maybe your breathing, ear infection, maybe up your nose, open your mouth. They're trying to assess. And if they're not comfortable, they don't have enough information, they might send you to a specialist, send you to an x-ray, send you to an ultrasound, send you somewhere else for a more experienced opinion. Okay? Why do they do this? Because they know if they're negligent, they know if they misdiagnose you or give you some kind of drug that'll cause you problems and that they've done a bad job, that they've got a major risk on them. You can sue them. They can lose their license if they practice badly. Understand? They've got a risk. Hey, but when it comes to vaccinations, it's risk-free. Risk-free. They don't have to assess you. They don't have to check you. Okay? It's just put it in. And guess what? They get rewarded for it. My wife worked as a medical center receptionist. I mean, this is common knowledge. You should know, right? You go in, you swipe your Medicare card, whatever. It comes out of your paycheck, right? Nothing's free. Even when we say we got free healthcare, it's not free. Don't worry, you paid for it, all right? And then, doctor gets a percentage, or gets an amount, you know, for the consultation. But guess what? If they jab you with something, they get a lot more money. Think about that for a minute. A lot more money, no risk. If you're a doctor, win-win. There is no loss. There is no risk. I don't have to assess the patient. I can just give him what he needs. No assessment is made. When a newborn is born, our doctor's going, all right, look, we've just checked the baby. We've just done blood tests, and he's highly likely to suffer with measles. So we're going to have to give him a vaccine. Listen, when a baby is born, there is no assessment. Basically, baby's born, inject it. What are they doing with the COVID-19 vaccine right now? Are they doing any kind of assessment? Is there any risk to those that are injecting people with this substance? There is no risk. You literally turn up, done. That's it. You know, it would make sense to me, even though I'm still against vaccination, it would make sense to me if you go to the GP, they assess you, they test you. Oh man, you know, you're in the high risk of dying from COVID-19 if you get it. You know, you're in the less than 1% that are going to die from COVID-19. Therefore, you know, you should be someone that takes this vaccination. That would make sense, okay? That would make a lot of sense if it works. If there's no other issues with it, okay? That would make sense. But what is it? No, we don't have to assess anything. We have to roll these out, and we better get, you know, we're going to get paid for it. We better do it because the government has literally spent millions of dollars on this, okay? And there is no risk. I mean, think about that. I mean, if someone came to you and offered you an investment opportunity, come here, invest $100,000, no risk. You will walk away with $200,000, no matter what. Even if the stock market collapses, even if the economy crashes, even if the Australian dollar goes to zero, you are guaranteed not only to get back your $100,000, but there's no risk you're going to get another $100,000 on top of that. And you knew that was true. No risk. Wouldn't you be like, sign me up then. Put it down. I'll walk away with $200,000 instead. But what if, okay, invest $100,000, but there are risks. You know, if the currency collapses, if the stock market crashes, you may lose it all. It might go to zero. Don't you think now you're going to have to assess, weigh up the risks, count the costs? Should I invest in this situation or should I not? And you make an intelligent decision based on the information you have because there's risk. Okay? And so when risk is involved, you're going to make better informed decisions. You're not going to be negligent with what you're risking, are you? Okay? But when you remove the risk completely, that just breeds negligence. And you're going to pay doctors as well? Well, that's what's going on, brethren. See, the fifth point that I'm against vaccines, it encourages negligence and unnecessary risk. You know, when the twins were born, my wife had a cesarean, and not only did she have a cesarean, which is difficult, my wife was having an allergic reaction. She was suffering. She had a really bad pregnancy. I mean, it's twins. My wife's not very big, okay? And they were, you know, one of the twins was a full-grown baby, okay? It's not like they were small babies, okay? But Matthias, when he was born, he had some complications, and he needed to go to ICU, intensive care, okay? But not only that, after my wife was sewed up after the cesarean, she kept hemorrhaging blood, okay? So it just kept going. So they had to take her in and reopen her, okay, after the cesarean. All right, so now I'm worried about my wife, okay? She's under, they put her under, don't know why, she's bleeding heavily, big concerns about my wife. Could I lose my wife? I don't know. Those thoughts come into your mind. Okay? I have a perfectly good baby, Christian, that was born, and now my wife's not, you know, she's under. I've got to formula feed this child, right? Because mum's not there to breastfeed. And then I've got another twin that's in intensive care, who I don't know what's going to happen to him, right? So there's all this stress and worry. Now, again, no risk, no assessment. So Matthias is born. Okay, he's a little bit skinnier. His digestive system apparently is not working properly, which is why he was not growing properly in the womb. Now, he's our tallest child right now, but anyway. But, you know, and then I'm stressed about my wife and, you know, trying to help this little baby as well, that the other twin that I've got there. And then the nurse comes in all, you know, huff and puff and, oh, I've made a mistake. It's like, what? Oh, I vaccinated, well, one vaccination on the twin, on Matthias, who's in intensive care. And I'm like, what in the world? Did you not hear? Did you not know? How many times did we say we did not want to vaccinate our kid? Okay, she's like, I'm sorry, this and that. Listen, she could get in big trouble. Because it's not like we made it known. Now, I understand there's a lot going on, my wife and intensive care, you know, but they're meant to be checking these things. You know why? She was able to just so easily, a little baby who's not fully developed, okay, as a twin, and was struggling with digestion, and still want to inject it, is because there is no risk. So it encourages negligence, not checking. That's not what God says. That's not what Christ says. When we make decisions, there ought to be some risk. There ought to be something that you've got to count the cost for, because then you can make proper, good, informed decisions. But making sure they have no risk, just, oh, baby's born, intensive care, who cares? Inject that child. So I'm not just saying this. I've seen it, okay? I've seen how these people operate. Now, in May 2020, an Australian doctor in Victoria had his registration as a doctor suspended in Victoria in 2020. Now, this is a doctor that counted the cost. He looked at the risks, okay? He knows that as a doctor, he's probably going to be forced to administer the COVID-19 vaccine. I don't have the guy's name. You can look it up yourself. But he made some Facebook posts that was against the COVID-19 vaccine and encouraging people to take vitamin C as preventative action against COVID-19. That's good advice, vitamin C. Is vitamin C controversial? And guess what happened? They suspended his registration. He could not operate as a doctor. This was a good doctor, counting the costs. Should I do this? Is this good for my patients? No, it's not going to be good. But you know what? I'm not going to leave them with no option. Hey, take vitamin C. That's what you think a doctor should be doing. A trained specialist. Someone who's supposed to care for his patients. But listen, you go against the narrative, you're out. Okay? So don't tell me that my doctors or the doctors you have, you know, keeping their license, don't tell me they're making informed decisions. Don't tell me they're counting the cost. They're not. It's risk-free, big money, and if that child gets, if somebody dies or gets in, has a problem with the vaccine, it's not their problem. Okay? It's not their problem. It becomes your problem. Now, someone might say, that's listening, I guess online, might say, well, you know, vaccines are perfectly safe. Well, there's a reason why so many countries across this world have a no-fault compensation for vaccine injury, okay? So these other countries in the world have recognized that vaccines can cause injury, so we better compensate those that have had these injuries. We haven't got that in Australia. But even with this, so they're acknowledging there is injury because of vaccines, but what is it? No fault. Even with that, you can't blame the person that gave it to you. You can't blame the people that produced it. It's no fault. We'll pay you money, but it's not our fault. Okay? Some of these countries, New Zealand, they have a no-fault compensation for vaccine injury. New Zealand, China, Japan, South Korea, Vietnam, Nepal, Thailand, Austria, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Hungary, Iceland, Italy, Luxembourg, Norway, Russia, Latvia, Slovenia, Sweden, Switzerland, UK, Canada, the USA. Okay, I'm not saying that in every part, in every state of these areas, they have it, but it's been recognized in these countries that vaccines can cause injury. You go to your doctor and ask them, can this vaccine cause me injury? What are they going to say? It's perfectly safe. No risk. Negligence. Okay. I probably harped on that point a bit too much. Can you please go to Leviticus chapter 10 for me? Leviticus chapter 10. Let me go through the 5 points so far. Point number one, it views God as an imperfect creator. Number two, it prioritizes physicians over the Lord. Number three, it is contrary to God, to Jesus' common sense. Number four, it promotes fear. Number five, it encourages negligence and unnecessary risk. And we're going to read Leviticus 10:10 soon. But someone might say, Pastor Kevin, you're a pastor, just preach the Bible. And I am preaching the Bible, am I not? Preach the Bible, leave the medical system to the, you know, leave the vaccinations to the medical world. All right. You know, why are you preaching such things? Now I'm going to read to you from Ezekiel 22:26. Ezekiel 22:26 reads, "Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things." This is a bad religious leader. I don't want to be a bad religious leader. I don't want to be a bad pastor. I want to be a good one. Okay, it says here, "They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them." I don't want to profane God. I don't want to offend God. Okay? Well, if I'm not preaching to you the difference between unclean and clean, then I am profaning the Lord God. It is the pastor's job, it is the religious leader's to teach you what is clean and unclean, what is holy and unholy. You're in Leviticus chapter 10 and verse number 10. Leviticus 10:10, it says, "That ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean." So this is a commandment to the people, to God's people. Differentiate between these two things. Now go to Leviticus 11 for me, please. Leviticus 11:24. Leviticus 11:24. Now, I want to teach you what's unclean. Leviticus 11:24. "And for these ye shall be unclean." These things will make you unclean. "Whosoever toucheth the carcass of them shall be unclean until the even." What's a carcass? It's a dead body. Okay? Verse number 25. "And whosoever beareth aught of the carcass," carcass of them, "shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. The carcasses of every beast," that's animals, "which divideth the hoof and is not cloven footed, nor cheweth the cud, are unclean unto you. Everyone that toucheth them shall be unclean. And whatsoever goeth upon his paws among all manner of beasts that go on all fours, those are unclean unto you. Whoso toucheth their carcass shall be unclean until the even." What do we learn from this passage? I could go on and on and on. If you guys know the book of Leviticus, you know I could go on and on. Okay? The Bible's telling us that dead animals, carcasses, dead bodies are unclean. You touch it, you're unclean. Now, as a preacher, I'm supposed to teach you what is unclean and clean. I'm supposed to teach you, stay clean. This goes all the way, obviously, as a parallel to our sin. Live a holy life. You know, don't live a sinful life. Overcome your sins. Overcome your sins. You know, turn from your sins. Live a godly, Christian, holy life. Yes. But this is a very practical part as well. Dead bodies. Okay? As far as God is concerned, these animal dead bodies, at least here, that are mentioned here, are unclean if you touch them. All right, I won't touch them, but I'll inject them into my body. If they're unclean to touch on the outside, how much more will it be unclean on the inside? of your body. What are you talking about? Number six, vaccines contain, it contains unclean dead animal cells. Unclean dead animal cells. Ah, Pastor Kevin, you said you're not going to go to the alternative media and get this information. Alternative media, mainstream media, these are facts. Everybody knows this. This isn't opinion. Vaccines have been created from dead carcasses. They've been used to produce these vaccines. Oh, but it's fine to put them into your body, directly into your bloodstream. No, it's not. Okay? As a Bible preacher, this is my job to teach you. Now, you can take it on board or you're not, between you and God. I'm not going to check if you're going to vaccinate yourself or vaccinate your kids. Between you and the Lord. Okay? I'm not mad at you if you do. It's between you and the Lord. Okay, now, I did a little bit of research, again, available anywhere, everywhere. Okay, Wikipedia, many research articles, just facts, okay? The flu vaccine was created from cells, well, depends on the flu vaccine because there are so many flu variants, okay? But from insects and dogs. I think it was a cocker spaniel, okay? The cells were harvested from that animal to create the vaccine. The rotavirus vaccine, the kidneys of the African green monkey was used to develop that vaccine. Do you want the kidneys? Is that what you want in your body? The cells from the kidneys of a dead... Listen, this is unclean. If you want to live a clean life, you know, it's hard because, you know, we sin all the time, don't we? Our hearts, we sin. So we know we're unclean to be before the Lord on a constant basis. But this one's a very easy one to remain unclean with. Don't inject me with this crap. Don't inject me with these unclean cells from these animals. Other vaccines that are made from animal cells include vaccines for measles, smallpox, polio, rabies, etc. Okay. Oh, but it's for your health. Okay, it's unclean, but we're making you clean. No, you're not. Why is it that they need cells? Why is it they need living organisms? Because ultimately what they're trying to do is inject you with a virus. Okay? It might be a bit of a dumbed down, you know, lesser effective virus, but they need living organisms in the vaccines so the virus can live and then it gets injected into you. Not just the virus. All of the things that are within. I'm not even going to touch on all the other chemicals right now. Okay? You can do your own research there. Okay? Now, they're thinking this is going to help you. We're going to take something unclean and make you clean. Okay? What does Job say in Job 14, verse 4? Now, we know Job was a righteous man. You don't need to turn there. I'll just read it to you. It's a short passage. Job 14, verse 4, if you want the reference. Job, a righteous man, a man who feared the Lord. Job says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. He says, nobody can bring something clean out of something that is unclean. And our doctors are saying, yeah, it's unclean, it's dead, it's animal kidneys and whatever, liver, I don't know, whatever it was, but we're going to make you clean, we're going to make you well. Well, you're against the Bible then. Okay, you're against God's word. You're contrary to God's word. You cannot make something clean that came from something that is unclean. No one. Okay? This is why we cannot save ourselves. We start unclean, a sinful state. You cannot reform your life and live a godly life and make it to heaven based on your works. We needed something clean. We needed Christ. We needed His righteousness. That's what makes us clean. Something that is clean can make something else clean. But you take something that is unclean, you're not going to go to heaven with your unclean works. It's not going to happen. You need the clean blood, the righteousness of Christ upon you. So the sixth reason why we should be against vaccines is because it contains unclean dead animal cells. All right, now please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 9. I'm not sure how long I've been going for. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 9. I'm up to my final point now, point number 7. And while you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 9, I'm going to read to you one of the Ten Commandments. Okay? Everybody knows the Ten Commandments. The sixth commandment, Exodus 20, verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. The seventh reason why we should be against vaccines is because it is developed from murdered babies. I'm not going to use their language, from fetal cells, aborted fetal cells. They've murdered babies and they've made these vaccines. They've taken the cells of these children, the innocent children, innocent blood. Again, they need the living cells, okay? And then they want to inject you with that same stuff. And so, oh, that was back in the 60s, the 70s. Yeah, the vaccines today, they're still using the same line of cells. I don't want to be involved in abortions whatsoever. It's such a wicked thing. Thou shalt not kill. I love it. Straightforward. Okay? That includes babies in a mother's womb. Now, let me just give you a little bit of information. Again, these are facts, alternative media, mainstream media, same information. Okay? So some vaccines that use aborted, murdered babies, okay, include the HEK293 cell line. HEK293 cell line. HEK stands for human embryonic kidney. Where do you think you got that from? A murdered baby. A baby that a mother did not want. Okay? 293 comes from the number of experiments used to develop that line of cells. So how many times? How many babies, actually? Okay, how many babies were used to develop, not just one, okay? How many were developed? There's so many, 293 experiments at least, okay? But the HEK293 is not the only one. That's what I'm going to be focused on a little bit, okay? It's not the only one. It's not the only cell line that was used to create vaccines. There's also the WI38, the MRC5, the PERC6, and the WowVax2. All right, these are cell lines from other aborted, murdered babies. Okay? Now, most of your mainline vaccines contain these ingredients. At least one of these. Okay? You can do your own research. Okay? Find out yourselves. I looked up many sources before I preached this, just to confirm that these things were true. But one of the cell lines that I mentioned was the PERC6. Okay, so this is from, again, murdered babies. The PERC6 is used right now in the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine. Okay, the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine was developed and contains PERC6 created from murdered babies. Are you going to inject that into you? Are you going to participate in the murder of these children? Okay, now, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is not the one that's really been heavily promoted in Australia, at least. The ones that have been promoted is the, let me see if I got this right. You probably heard it on the news. The Moderna and Pfizer COVID-19 vaccines. Okay? So what they used instead was the HEK, the one that I said was human embryonic kidney 293. They used this cell line to develop their vaccines. Now, they'll say that it's not within the vaccine, yeah, but it was used to create the vaccine. You're still using murdered babies, body parts, cells, to create this so-called clean thing that's going to help you. It's baby. Aborted babies. Murdered. And one thing that disgusted me, you probably already know this, but these aborted babies, it's not just your common abortion, which is evil enough. Which is wicked enough, okay? It's not because, you know, a baby gets killed in the mother's womb, it's dead. It's no use to vaccines. It doesn't contain living tissue. It doesn't contain living cells. Where do you think you're going to get living cells from? A dead baby or a living baby? Makes sense. You need living cells? Guess what? It's going to be a living baby. The HEK293, okay, cell line, which was used to create the Moderna and Pfizer COVID-19 vaccines, was created by a mother giving birth to a child by cesarean, you know, cesarean section, Caesar, cesarean section. And then as that child is alive, it's been harvested. As the child is alive and the heart is beating, the child is being opened up and harvested. Think about that for a moment. and they can't use anesthetic. You know, if you go into surgery and get opened up, they're going to give you anesthetic, they're going to give you painkillers, they're going to give you something so you don't feel it. They can't use it because it disrupts the cells. They want the cells perfect, living. And so they'll take a baby out of the mother's womb, live in, and start working on it as it's alive, as the heart is beating. That's where you get the living cells from. Why? To put the virus in those cells so it can live in order for it to be used and developed as vaccines. How wicked is that, brethren? I mean, that means these babies are feeling the pain of being operated on until it dies. How would you like that for yourself? How wicked is it on little babies? You're in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 9. Before I read that, you might say, why do they use fetal cells? Why not use adult cells? Well, I looked this up. Basically, fetal cells are easier to experiment on. They last longer and they're easier to store. Okay? So let's go for the baby. I mean, is this demonic or what? Is this the work of Satan or not? Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 9. If thou shalt keep all these commandments and do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God and to walk ever in his ways, then shalt thou add 3 cities more for thee beside these 3. Look at verse number 10. That innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. God says, no innocent blood should be shed on your land. We live in Australia. What is an aborted baby? That's innocent blood being killed to create these stupid vaccines, these wicked demonic vaccines. Innocent blood. God tells, and so blood be upon thee. You know what I have to say to this medical world, to our politicians? Oh, but our prime minister is a Christian. He's a wicked man. He's a wicked man, okay? God guarantees there's going to be blood upon this nation, upon this whole world, because they're shedding the blood of innocents. They're killing babies. This is the main reason why, as Christians, we should be against vaccines. So let me conclude, brethren. The 7 reasons why Christians should be against vaccines. Number 1, it views God as an imperfect creator. Number 2, it prioritizes physicians over the Lord. Number 3, it is contrary to Jesus' common sense. Number 4, it promotes fear. Number 5, it encourages negligence and unnecessary risk. Number 6, it contains unclean, dead animal cells. And number 7, it is developed from murdered babies.